there's nothing wrong with your computer. For the next 30 seconds, we control Fess, because we paid him, and money is like a supernatural power. We've used the power of capitalism to tell you about the webcomic Exern. That's EXIERN.com. Exern is a fantasy webcomic with a transgender twist. A barbarian hero becomes a sexy warrior maiden with some serious issues when a wizard's spell goes bad. Check it out today. That's EXIERN.com.
Now broadcasting the webcomic Beacon.
Welcome to episode 110 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. We are hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics hosting and community site at rampagenetwork.com. I'm Fess of Fessworks.com, and with me are my two wonderful co-hosts, starting off with Mark Savory of AutumnLake.com. Welcome.
Well, hello.
And Tanya Higgins of DaisiesAndShit.com. Welcome.
Hello, hello.
We've already gone off on the wrong foot, but I think that's, it's all right for this show, you know. As far as anybody who's been checking the schedule at webcomicbeacon.com/calendar, today we were supposed to have Jenny Breeden on the show, but instead we got Jenny Breeden and Gina Briggs on the show. So everyone's getting a twofer. It's doubly exciting today. So let's first off welcome Jenny Breeden of the Devil's Panties at devilspanties.keenspot.com. Welcome.
How do you do?
And is that URL correct, or is there a...
You can just do devilspanties.com or thedevilspanties.com. Devilspanties.com is actually the fan site. I should really ask the reader to let me use my URL. But I haven't gotten around to asking him that yet.
Well, good luck with that. And we also have Gina Biggs of Red String, which is at redstring.strawberrycomics.com. Welcome to the show.
Hi there.
Hello.
So we have a very estrogen-filled episode today. As Tanya would say it, though, of course, as Tanya and I have agreed, I'm more of a girl than Tanya is.
Oh, yeah.
Quite a bit, actually.
I could see that.
So that extra estrogen is coming from me, and the extra testosterone is coming from Tanya. There we go.
Generally.
I'm just a base.
You are the...
I'm just a base to, like,
you help stabilize everything.
I neutralize it. I don't stabilize. I just learn.
Okay, neutralize. Well, there you are. We are broadcasting live, as we always do for our shows, for the past, I'd say, almost close to 2 years now. We've been doing our live shows on... we've been having a talk show. And as well as Ustream now, and if you want to listen through either one of those, go to webcomicbeacon.com/live and join our live chat room. In any case, the original idea for getting these people on the show was to have a look at romance, because we've always had this kind of sour taste with romance. As from our anti-Valentine's Day episode, remember. But so a couple of different, two different webcomics here. And we're going to start with we're going to start with Jenny. Sorry, I'm just kind of all flustered. I'm just like excited and I keep tripping over myself.
You got flustered.
We're supposed to be talking about romance, and I think we've already covered the lingerie and vaginas. So
yeah, but that wasn't part of the show, though, so everyone doesn't get to hear that in the MP3.
The highlights were grooms in female lingerie under their tuxedos and vagina brunch. I think that's the highlights of the pre-interview conversation.
And white lingerie is bad, apparently.
No, it's just rare.
Just
white
rare.
Lingerie is very rare.
Okay.
That it's very difficult to look good in white.
Oh, it is.
Well, I say it depends on how the piece is constructed, how it looks, the design, you know? If you design it in a way
underneath the piece, that's the
it's the architecture art. Underneath. I agree.
I don't care about that. I want the infrastructure.
It's all just wrapping paper.
Oh. Yay! It's Christmas.
Wow.
Okay. Anyway.
What was the question?
So the first thing we like to do with our guests is when we have them on, basically say...
Horrify them generally. But then after that...
Yeah. You have a webcomic called The Devil's Panties. Could you give us a quick rundown of basically what is The Devil's Panties?
An autobiographical webcomic about conventions, comic shops, and pirates. You know, the normal type of stuff, like you do. It's a cartoon that I started in college in 2001, and I just did it as a way to keep drawing every day. And then in 2006, I was able to quit my day job just because I wanted more time to make more merchandise to sell for the comic strip. It's all about merchandising.
Merchandising.
Merchandising. Oh,
yeah. But it's all autobiographical stuff because there's nothing more bizarre than reality. I mean, I could probably get 4 cartoons out of the conversation we just had in the past 10 minutes.
And I'll probably see her draw them too.
Oh yes, I go over to Gina's house on Tuesdays and we both we like to pretend it's a work day. We just sit around talk
and watch Doctor Who.
Yes!
She's converted me.
Awesome.
Wow.
Just a bit.
It's just, I'm sorry, the first line being, you know, nice to meet you, now run for your life.
I love the, what is it? That was the 9th Doctor, right? Yeah. Mm. He was fun. Yep.
Never forget your first Doctor.
Man, I love that shirt. I need one.
I have that shirt. I have the one of the DeLorean running into the TARDIS, too. I had to have that.
Oh, yeah. It came out of nowhere.
Well, my husband has the Salvador Dalek one. That's the one I wanted. But I didn't want to get the same one as my husband. It would be kind of dorky to do that.
A match?
Yeah. I can't do that.
No. Just steal his on occasion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, The Devil's Panties, how'd you come up with the name then?
I stole it from a friend of mine. My friend DJ has names for everything. And when I did cartoons about friends and family and things that happened in the dorms, and somebody suggested I put it online. I said, okay, well, if it's online, I need to have a title for it. So I had a list of potential titles, and I wanted to call it Reality's Victim. I thought that was very witty. But my friend DJ was like, okay, try to call it Devil's Panties. She was going to use that name for her band. But she doesn't really play an instrument. So she said that I could have it. And so every time I ask somebody, you know, which title do you like more, you know, Reality's Victim or Devil's Panties? And they'd without fail, every single person would stop and say, Devil's Panties. I don't know what that is, but I want to find out. So I really do owe her a bouquet of flowers or something, because that title is just, even the lady at the bank, because I now have a business account, so I went and deposited some checks, and she stopped and looked at me and went, can I ask what exactly do you do?
You don't want to do.
Oh, yeah. But I found out a couple of years ago, I had some girls come up to me at a convention, and they said, oh, yeah, Devil's Panties, I love that movie.
What
do you mean? She was like, you know, the Sandra Bullock movie. And I went, what? And apparently it's from Miss Congeniality. The little girl, the blonde girl, is sitting there going, oh, I really wanted to get the red panties, but my mom wouldn't let me. She said they were Satan's panties. And so she went and stole them and said, but yeah, apparently, unbeknownst to me, it was Devil's Panties as a line from a Sandra Bullock movie.
Congeniality. Well, that had to be a bit of a downer.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't sound like it's exactly right. It's exactly the same, so.
I'm known for my misquotes anyway, so.
Oh, okay, okay.
I keep calling that one movie The Dog Lottery. And
The Dog Lottery.
Slumdog Millionaire.
It's close. It's conceptual thought is all. And reading the comic, there's a lot of conceptual thought. So, you know.
That's a lovely compliment.
It's probably one of the first reasons that I sort of resonated with Devil's Panties. It was one of the first five comics that I ever checked out, the first being something positive. And what struck me immediately was how easy it was to identify with the characters, simply because it is very conceptual. You can follow their thought patterns. It's a very familiar thought pattern, which might be frightening for anyone that knows me, but the comic isn't as scary as it is in my head. It's actually very good. It's easy to recognize people you know in situations you've been in.
Oh yeah, no, I do cartoons about things that I'm like, oh my god, this is so odd and so weird. I have to do a cartoon about it, and then I get emails from Germany going, oh my god, this is totally my sister, or you know, where have you hidden the cameras? I was doing a show in Boston. And I had, in the space of 5 minutes, I had the most diverse group of people come up to me. I had little 16-year-old girls with green hair saying, you know, I love your comic, it reminds me of my friends. I had a big biker guy with a Santa Claus beard come up and say, oh yeah, I've totally done that stuff. I had a housewife with a stroller full of kids who's like, oh yeah, I love the comic strip, it reminds me of, you know, my day-to-day life. And then I had a big guy with a baseball cap that looks like he played football, and he said, yeah, I like your comic strip, it reminds me, you know, my dance troupe really enjoy it.
Whoa.
Yeah, about that point, I was like, yeah, somebody asked me what my target audience was. I said, I have no idea.
People.
Yes.
People.
Yeah.
People.
Special, special people.
But you love them. Keep buying more Devil's Panties merchandise.
Oh, yeah. No, I made slap bracelets. Devil's Penny slap bracelets, because you know who wouldn't want one? But they didn't sell very well. But lanyards sold really well. So I make merchandise for what would I want to buy?
How and old is then that? I remember slap bracelets from the 80s.
Oh yeah, they were banned from my middle school because kids would pull the protective coating off of them, and you had a sharpened piece of metal that you were going to slap onto your wrist.
A shiv.
Oh yeah,
a very like bendy, it. Round shiv.
When East Side and West Side do that dance with the knives, you know, they'll be using slap bracelets without the coating on them.
Jeez.
How did you do with this? Is something I've wanted to ask you for the longest time. How did you do with the Plague Monkey hand sanitizer?
Surprisingly terrible, actually.
I expected that to fly from your table to fly.
Oh yeah,
the
convention. Well, and everyone gets sick from conventions because it's a whole bunch of people, you know, put into a badly ventilated room for 3 days, and nobody's really, you know, the gamer room doesn't really leave that room at all. So the funk that wafts from it is just, it's pretty horrific. So everyone would walk by my table and they go, oh, look, hand sanitizer. That's funny. And they'd walk away. So hand sanitizer.
You need to tell them it's really not a joke.
No, really, hand sanitizer here, sir. Just for the betterment of mankind, here, take this.
Just spread this on a little thick. It'd be good. Yeah, I suffer from a similar malady where I print shirts that nobody buys because they do the same thing. They come by and they say, "Oh, that's hilarious," and then walk away. Yeah.
Well, people do that too. Jenna has some amazing t-shirts, and we did a convention together in DC during the big snowstorm. Mm-hmm. And this one kid, and the anime conventions I adore because it's kids with income who don't really have any expenses, so they're more likely to buy stuff. Yeah. And this one kid takes a picture of one of her t-shirts, and I can't remember which one it was. I think it was
the bacon one.
Yeah, bacon IV. I need a bacon IV stat.
Yeah.
and he looks at it and he laughs at it and he takes a picture of it. And then I lean over and I'm like, you know, we've got some buttons. You can take a button home, you know, buy a $2 button with the bacon IV and you can take it home with you and not have taken a photograph and then not paid for it for the interesting information that she's now worked so hard to make. So yeah, I totally guilted him into buying something from her.
Oh, he should.
Take that, kid.
Yeah, I got to thank you for that, Jen. I mean, I wouldn't have had the wherewithal to really push that hard to get him to buy that button from me.
Dude, we needed gas money.
Well, you know, yeah, I know, but you know that other guy who came up and took a picture, it was a girl, and she's like, "Oh yeah, this would make a great tattoo for my brother. He'd love it," and walks off. And I'm like, "You're just gonna take my design and make it a tattoo and not even ask if it's okay?"
Oh yeah, no,
it's kind of bizarre.
The polite kind of, "Pardon me, you have to give me money now."
How do you deal with that? You've obviously shared tables together in the past, and I know I've seen you, Jenny, at conventions with sharing tables with a number of different people. How do you do when you have people that kind of have two different sales styles? Have you ever run into any conflicts there, or do you feel like you start taking over for one another?
Well, I think that everyone has some of their horror stories of neighbors and good stories about neighbors. There's a huge amount of convention etiquette. You never try to make pitch a sale to someone who hasn't gotten into your territory yet. You have to wait until they pass the other person's table before you do your pitch. I mean, artists will shit each other if you lean across the table and say, "Hey, dude, I like your shirt. Here, I've got a cartoon about that shirt. Come over here and look at this." Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bitch will get cut for that.
Blood will flow. Yes.
Oh, and I have to admit that Gina and I worked. I mean, we shared a table, which was a table is usually about 6 to 8 feet, and then if you split it with someone, you've got about a 3 foot space with the other person. Which on the third day, doesn't matter if it's your mom. It's gonna get a little tense. And on the third day of this past convention, what was it? CapsCon. I knew that friends of mine were going to be gone for that day, so I scooted over and stole their table. And Gina and I kept looking at each other going, "I love you, honey, but wow, that was a bit tight."
Well, the fact that I started putting a sticky note on my head saying, "I'm not Jen."
Oh, yeah, sorry. I have this problem. Whenever I share a table with somebody, nobody thinks that I'm Jenny because I don't really look like I draw myself. I'm a lot taller. And I've shared a table with... Even if it's a guy, it's no matter who the person is that's sitting next to me, everyone always thinks the other person is Jen.
It's Jimmy Breeden.
Oh yeah, there's guys. I shared a table with a small black woman, and everyone still thought that she was Jen.
Well, it's interesting they go that far out of. I mean, clearly the small black woman didn't look anything like the character in your comic either.
You need to start wearing horns and wings, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll have to wear the sticky note. We actually did started wearing sticky notes. Me and Mookie and Mookie's girlfriend and Gina all had sticky notes that said, "Not Jen, not Jen either. Still not Jen." And after the procedure.
Nice.
No, that was all Gina that was messing around with that.
I like that. That's good.
Well, awesome.
And we stopped.
I guess it's time for a break. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll hear more about Gina Bakes.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics host and community at rampagenetwork.com. Don't forget that we broadcast our shows live. Tune in on Sundays at 3 p.m. Eastern at webcomicbeacon.com/live. Join our live chat room. Visit our forums for unified discussions on latest topics, collaborations, projects, events, or contests at webcomicbeacon.com/forum.
And we're back.
Yeah, we don't really do breaks. You never explain this to the poor guests.
Well, sometimes funny things happen.
Purely imaginary. He uses them in order to take clips of people when they think they're not being recorded. So when he says, "Let's go to a break," just be really quiet or say something completely obnoxious. Those are your
Because if you let off some secret, it's going to be there.
Well, he's already got, I think he's still got the sound, but I didn't know if he was recording at the time of he said that sometimes he edits out profanity and stuff, so I just started rambling off whatever I thought he would have to edit out.
And you didn't even say anything bad, really.
Oh, really? I said some bad. Let's see. I said, you know, dildos, vibrators, furries. What's the yiffing?
Hey. Oh, I see. You put a clarifier on there.
See, I'm on.
I'll edit furries out. I mean,
I'm on the show, so he got over editing those kind of things out before we even really started. You have to do like a major broadcast violation to edit things out,
otherwise, or something like episode 69.
That was wow. We went into I think we went into illegal territory actually for anyone who lives in Texas,
Alabama.
Or Alabama, which is now my least favorite state in the union.
Now, isn't Gina, do you remember, well, actually, I don't know if Gina knows about the laws in Georgia about vibrators. They're not, they're legal as vibrators, but you're only allowed to sell them as novelties. Mm-hmm. If you have a letter from your doctor or if you're using it, college course.
Yeah. I love the college course exemption. That was my favorite one.
Excuse me.
I think I've killed someone with that comment.
Wow.
All right. So moving on.
Aww.
So we have Gina Biggs with us. She does the webcomic Red String, and that's over at Strawberry Comics. Gina, will you please tell us what Red String is about?
Well, it's not based in reality, first off. It's all about love and growing up, and it follows three Japanese high school students and their adventures in romance.
Adventure!
Well, it is an adventure, you know. I mean, I know you have the anti-Valentines and all, but I am definitely the gushiest, cutesiest, loving love type person there is, so I am the anti-you guys, I guess. You know, you were talking. I thought there was going to be a witch hunt. I was like, wait, I'm coming on this, and you were talking about anti-Valentine's Day, and all I do is cute pink, all this kind of stuff. You know, I get googly when my husband calls me on the phone. You know,
I try to give fair voice. I mean, I will gladly have something awful people on the
show. Did you really just call her out as like the other?
No, she called herself out.
What happened?
She called herself out.
That's how bigotry starts, Beth.
I'm not a bigot.
Mark is a hopeless romantic. He's just
hopeless is right.
I have no hope. Ah, yay.
So,
what led you to starting basically a romance comic? Let's start there.
Well, okay, let's see. You know, growing up I read Conan and X-Men and all that, but you know, admittedly, X-Men, I read it for like Rogue and Gambit, and you know, like the whole will they won't they, and you know, the thing that drove me nuts was that there was never any satisfying conclusion. Yeah. It was always going to continue on and on and on because it's a corporate comic and they need their figures to not really grow. And then I started reading shoujo manga, and you got a beginning and an end, and you got a satisfying conclusion, whether the characters got together or not. You got to know the ending of the story, and I wanted to write things like that, and so I ended up creating Red String just to satisfy what I wasn't getting out of the American comics I knew of at the time. It was just kind of, yeah, I suppose just I wanted that romance, and I wanted conclusions, so.
And that
the Remington Steel factor there, where it's like year after year, will they, won't they, will they, won't they, will they, won't they. I've never really liked that in television.
I hated that. It's like, do something!
Sugar cans?
So, Gina, in the first, what I adored about your comic strip was that in the first, like, three pages or something, they do that whole... oh no, they're betrothed and they're supposed to hate each other, like all, you know, stories of being forced into a relationship. But no, they fell in love in the first three pages and they said, nope, we're together. You can't break us apart. And yeah, you know, it kind of jumped over all of that drama.
I figured that would be like a different angle to go on, because up until then, all the arranged marriage and all that sort of thing, they always hated each other. And I wanted to try it something different and, you know, hopefully give me something different to read at the time. You know, it was kind of a fun challenge to write characters who you know, it wasn't all these trials and tribulations to get to the relationship. They started out there, so you were having all the trials and tribulations of the actual relationship.
Mm.
And, oh, I liked it. You know.
Well, I appreciate that that's actually something that's very seldom explored. It typically tends to be the drama prior and the maybe, maybe not, you know, like you talked about in X-Men, and the back and the forth and the bullshit. And it never actually gets to what it's like to, you know, really be in an actual relationship and explore those kind of things as well, growing to know each other and closer. So that much I appreciate. I won't be completely anti-Valentine on you.
Yay, thank you. You know, I can put the defense weapons down. I can feel a little bit more comfortable then.
That's okay.
We're not a very shanky bunch. It's okay.
Now, I have to admit, now, Gina, I've never actually seen your katana, but I heard the story about it as far as weaponry.
Oh, my. Yeah, that was something else.
It was amazing.
Now we have to hear the story.
Okay. Well, at the last apartment I was living, there was construction going on, and one morning I woke up to somebody on our screened-in patio ripping out the screening, and I was like, what is going on? And then, you know, I didn't think too much more of it after that, because I figured, okay, they're taking that out. And then about a week later, I was in the shower, and my dog is barking, 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 and I come out of the shower with a towel on, barely, and I see somebody is coming into the apartment. I come out with the katana blade out and go, what the F are you doing in here? And it was, you know, the guys with the glass to put the new window in. But, you know, we had gotten no notice. The guy freaked out. He just backed out of the apartment and, yeah, they apparently the office heard about it from them before they heard me complaining about it because they were so freaked out with what I had done.
That is
for the rest of his life, that's the only story he tells at a bar. That's it. Half-naked woman with the katana.
Oh, yeah.
There can be only one.
If I had to die, that's how I'd die. That's how I choose. Seriously. No offense. But if I'm offending, I don't know. I have a habit of offending people.
See, that would be the estrogen we're talking about.
An adorable little woman with a katana and a towel.
Fest jumps on Amazon and looks up books on how to repair windows.
That's awesome.
Now, where's that apartment? Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. That sounds creepy now.
Yeah, I think it just jumped over the fence and went somewhere else.
I blame Mark.
We're gonna leave it there. We're gonna come back to comics. So, Gina, okay. do you find that your readers, your fans, identify you with any particular character in the comic, and do you agree with their assessment?
Well, I found out recently that they find me to expect me to be in lots of frilly, cute things at conventions. I was wearing jeans and a t-shirt with little marshmallow bunnies on it. I mean, you know, but in terms of, I don't think they know how much exactly comes from my own experiences, so they don't really know who to really identify me with. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think I tend to relate mostly to the girl that right now everybody's on a witch hunt with. She's all about, you know, romance, and she's very kind of quiet and shy and tries to, you know, just try and find true love and all that kind of stuff. It's all the cutesy stuff that I'm into, but...
So they do pigeonhole you, but not necessarily into a character.
Oh, no, because I think they know that, In general, it is all coming from my head, so all the characters are from me in some way or another. But I don't think that they, as far as I know, they haven't mentioned it, but I don't think that they kind of identify me with one particular character. They pretty much say they're well-rounded enough that they find them to be very... I don't know. I'm rambling now. Sorry.
No, that's
no,
quite
no, you're
right.
Not,
that
you're not at
all.
All you're exploring the concepts.
Yeah. You know, that's. I think that's why I like writing so much, because I can go back and have a second draft and then go, yeah, this sounds great now. But the first I do that a lot with my husband, too, and he's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I don't know. I need a second draft. Hold on. Let me think.
So, just walk out of the room and start over.
That for life, yeah.
We do that. We actually do that in the house. We have a policy that if we've started a conversation and it goes in a way we hadn't intended, we are allowed at any time in the conversation to walk out of the room, close the door, and start over. The other person is then required to forget the old conversation and start anew.
And that's your husband, right? Like
yeah. And it's actually
it's mostly your husband that does that.
My parents, most of my friends. It's kind of something I demand. It's sort of like a contract for being my friend. You have to allow redos.
I love redos.
I might have to try that.
I really do recommend everyone give that a shot. It solves a lot of arguments and misunderstandings. I just go, wait, start over, leave the room, and come back in, and everything's okay again.
When they come back and tell you what you want to hear, right? is that how that works?
No, it's only you only get to do a do-over if you've said something you wish you hadn't, or you understand that you were misunderstood. Because
I think you said something that you didn't really want to say. Go out and come back.
Start again, because you're a jackass. That's happened. Yes.
I have a friend of mine. A friend of mine said that there's a difference between what he intends to say, what he says, and what she hears.
Yeah.
Sadly.
There's always a big difference between the three.
My ex-husband used to say, listen to what I mean, not to what I say. Which
yeah.
I had difficulty okay. with, hence the ex-husband. But, yeah.
Just think of me as a congressman.
Oh.
I'm sorry, I don't have my machete with me, so.
I have that problem where I don't think before I say something.
Yes.
I just keep talking and kept talking, so my unfiltered voice comes out. What I say, I'm more or less mean, but usually not in the way that I say it. Like, I didn't say the correct words in order to express it in a non-dickish way. I just come right out and say something sometimes. And I also hate it when people read into what's not said. When people quote-unquote read between the lines. I'm saying this. Stop reading what's not there. If you have a question, ask. Don't assume. Don't add stuff I didn't say. I have this problem with my friend Heidi where
this is going to become neurosis.
No, it's not neurosis.
I can see this being a problem if you want to tell someone you love them and you tell them that you hate them instead.
That's
an
issue.
Work. I hate you, honey. I mean, I could see that.
I don't know where we're going with that.
I don't.
Actually, I was going to try and warp it back into Gina's comic.
You should do that.
I appreciate that you don't have that sort of drama. There doesn't seem to be the junior high-ish, I'm really in love with this person, so I'm going to act a prick for the rest of the, you know, plot line. Uh-huh. That I very much appreciate as well. It doesn't come across as cloying, which is typically my issue with romance comics.
Or Mary Sue-ish.
Yeah. How do you avoid that? How do you avoid it becoming... Well, do you ever find the sweet kind of taking over the reality and you have to reset, or...?
Well, when I'm writing, before it even, you know, gets to the computer screen for everybody to read, what I do is I sit there and I go, well, would this happen really? Would I react that way to this? You know, like when certain characters break up or whatever, and it's just... I think it came from partially watching, Melrose Place growing up with my mom, and going, God, that doesn't make any sense. Why would she do that? Why would she go back with him? Why would this happen? You know, this doesn't make sense in real life. So whenever I'm writing, if something seems a little too melodrama, I mean, there is a little bit of drama in melodrama. You know, it has to. It's a romance story. But I try and make the characters react realistically in the story, and I've gotten a lot of people writing me and thanking me for not going overboard with that, you know, trying to make it too unbelievable. And that I end up grabbing a lot of people who don't normally read romance comics because of that. So I just keep questioning myself and making sure that if I wouldn't react that way, would it be in character for them to react that way? And it kind of helps... anchor me to reality.
Yeah. And yeah. I like I said, I do appreciate you not running away with the Melrose-iness.
Yeah.
Melrose-iness.
That show was cracked out, man.
Oh, it really was. It was a show entirely populated by purposeful evil victims.
Purposeful victims and very, very evil people in general.
Yes.
I like that term, purposeful victims. I think I know some of them.
I think we all do.
I think it was a prerequisite to get into Melrose Place was that you had to have some kind of
evil, and then every 14th episode, they would let everyone know that you were really tender and sweet, deep, deep, deep inside, or you were a purposeful victim.
Yeah. Gina.
Yes.
So I asked this of Jenny, so I asked this of you. How did you come up with the name Red Strain?
Well, that one was actually kind of easy. There's a Japanese and Chinese folktale about the red string of fate. And when two people are born, they're attached with an invisible red thread. And as they go through life, the thread gets closer and closer until the day that they meet. And those are their destined lover. And I just kind of went, okay, Red String of Fate, I'll call it Red String. Why not? You know, it was pretty simplistic.
So like soulmates, I guess.
Yeah. And it got the point across. People recognize the term, especially if they read manga, so okay. They kind of know what they're getting into.
I had a little bit more inappropriate idea, which I was certain was not the case, but...
Speaking of reading between the lines, my goodness...
Yeah, well, that's why I assumed that was probably not it. And then recently I was thinking red string, maybe heart string. Hearts are red. Okay.
there's actually a dark side to that mythos in that if the strings that attach these souls, there's different colors for different kinds of attachments. If the strings that attach these souls become tangled throughout their lives, they can't enter into the next stage unless everyone's all together. And so you may be trapped in reincarnation, not because you are a bad monkey, but because someone you're attached to is a bad monkey. So you'll be kept from nirvana by your other attachments.
Is that what's wrong with me?
Son of a bitch.
This is what I get for studying way too many religions.
Yeah. Now, is it that you have to sever those attachments to get to nirvana, or... That you have to bring that other bad monkey with you.
You have to bring the bad monkeys with you.
Screw that. Where's my scissors?
If you sever the ties, you actually... There are other parts of the mythos that say that that's where you get hauntings and ghosts are people who are trapped because they've severed the ties of eternity.
Oh, I am so screwed.
I'm a bridge burner, too. So, yeah. It's a good thing I'm also an atheist.
Like you said, the what's it victims, the perpetual or the...
Purposeful victims.
Purposeful victims, I walk away from them. So I have a feeling that I have a whole train of strings behind me going, oh, you mean I have to go help them?
There no, run really fast them. And they'll start fluttering behind you. It'll look cool.
Yes, it'd be pretty.
Wouldn't that be pretty? Just a little kite of purposeful victims just flying behind.
Oh. Well, must one can dream.
The alien queen.
That's horrid.
Aliens too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of many reasons that I'm happy that I'm just an atheist and I don't have to worry about it because I really don't have patience for purposeful victims. And I have unfortunately been known to tell someone, "I'm sorry, you're victimizing yourself, and I can no longer deal with you," and just walk away. That's a bridge you're not building again. Like that's done. You're through at that point. So. Yeah, I hope it's not true. I hope the Eastern philosophy is wrong.
That's in one way that's helping them though. That's pointing out, and I've been caught in my own BS as well. That somebody will turn to me and go, "Do you know consciously that you're doing this? That you're manipulating this?" I'm like, "What's the term that I absolutely hate? Passive aggressive." I try my damnedest not to be passive aggressive, but I am to my core. So it helps when somebody does turn to me and say, you're purposefully being a victim. Ah, crap. Yeah.
Well, I don't think I do that. I think I'm just accidentally an asshole.
accidentally.
No, really.
My
I don't...
mom uses the term. She says that there are some people who are born without sensor buttons. Yeah. And I think that's your issue. You don't know when to just not.
Yeah, I just sometimes I don't think I'm a man. Sorry.
Oh,
I don't
no, think. No, it's just a penis. Stop it. No.
I'm just kidding. No, seriously, I don't know why. But I do know that when I'm talking with Diana, sometimes she will call me out. She will get pissed at me, and I will learn to shut up. So that's good. So I appreciate that. You know, I need to shut up
so
more
here's
often.
A question: have either one of you ever gotten in trouble for the honesty in your comic? Have fans ever been upset about the way a character was treated because, you know, it was an honest situation and that's honestly how it would have been handled?
Gina, do you want to go first or should I?
I heard you sort of giggling at the thought.
No, go for it, Jen.
In trouble for the honesty. Yeah, no, I can actually answer. I can think of a couple of conversations Gina and I have had. So I know a few of her stories. Let's see. Honest. Okay, the question is honesty.
Well, I can think of the one the one you wrote of me in your comic when we were at the figure drawing class and the uncircumcised issue and how that caused such a huge stir. It was insane.
So you'd think a comic called The Devil's Panties would cause a bit of controversy. Surprisingly, none at all. I've never had anybody get upset with me for doing cartoons about Jesus and the devil smoking pot. Actually, I sold that one to somebody at the nursery in my church. It was put up in the sanctuary. It was Jesus saying, and you know what? I hate that Dad made this stuff so they'd chill the fuck out. But no, it's the lung clogging cancer shit that they legalize. Mm-hmm. And devil saying, yeah, I'm especially proud of that one. But no, none of that is the controversial stuff. The stuff that I did one comic strip where Gina and I are at our Tuesday life drawing class and the model comes in and we're sitting there looking at him for a minute. And how it actually happened was that we were in the car driving away and Gina turns to me and goes, was that? And I go, yeah, he was uncircumcised. He goes, okay. It looks a little weird.
Not so much weird, but I had never seen that before, and yeah, it just was like, I was like, that's different. I don't know.
It is something you take notice of. I can understand. You're like, hey, that one's different than the other ones. Okay.
Which one of these things is not like the other? Okay.
Well, so I did a cartoon about that because it's just a cute little commentary of, you know, where if you take life drawing classes and you've seen what stereotypically is what you think is the male anatomy, and then you see something that's a little different, you go, well, that's okay, that's interesting. It created a storm on my forum. A line was drawn and people started just calling others out because apparently it's a very controversial subject of whether or not that some individuals believe in circumcision of either for their children or for themselves, or it's this huge, huge thing. And all very valid arguments, you know, and I couldn't believe that had caused such a storm when I've done comics about, I mean, God, it's life at conventions. So I've run the gambit of all things and apparently circumcision just causes the drama.
Yeah. I chose not to circumcise my son, so and made, you know, well, because I also don't have the censorship button. When people would ask me why, I would tell them a little too honestly, and so I'm aware of the firestorm. I'm interested that it would attach to a comic. I think they would have glazed by that, but apparently not, so good to know.
Well, my readers are known for their tangents, like myself. You know, that they are just a different aspect of myself, so the tangents definitely run wild, so we tend to get off topic on some of the forums, but yeah, throw one little spark on that pile, and but the question was telling honesty. Have I ever gotten in trouble for doing honesty in a comic strip? I had a girl have me sign a contract saying that I wouldn't put her in the strip anymore, and I'm not going to say who that is. But she was kind of upset. She said, you know, you portrayed me as kind of negatively. And I sat there and went, you know, she used a different term. And I said, you know, I was actually toning you down. I didn't say that out loud because I still had to live with the girl. But no, this was years and years and years and years ago. And so sometimes you get in trouble for, you know, you think that you're being delicate and polite, and turns out that yeah. that's one of the many. My sister gets upset with me because she says I'm not being honest enough. She keeps looking at the comics saying, that's not how it happened. And I said, but that's how I remember it happening. I actually did a comic strip where I took note. I took out my phone and took a tape recording of what my brother said and what my sister said. And my other sister said, that's not what he said. And I said, but I thought that was what he said. No, that's not what he said. You're going to have to do it right. I said, okay, what did he say? Well, I don't remember, but it wasn't that. I get in trouble for not remembering word for word how it happened. And my mom keeps saying, that's how Jenny remembers it happened.
It's through your filter.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well, so, awesome. Gina.
I want to hear about your honesty now.
Oh, my. I really can't think of anything off the top of my head in terms of honesty being too honest, other than I get some people who... Just a few people, because for the most part, I get a lot of people who say they identify with the character, but people who tell me that in actual reality, two women can't be romantically in love.
What?
Actual reality. Real reality. Oh yeah.
Actual reality. And
actual reality instead of... Okay.
But, you know, other than that, I don't get a lot of emails calling me out on that sort of thing. You know, I've had a character that people have loved for a long time. She slapped the guy. Suddenly they're all ready to, you know, feed her to the wolves. I don't know.
for domestic violence.
Yeah. It's, you know, but otherwise, I mean, I don't know, Jen, can you think of anything that I've told you off the top of my head? I can't think of anything at the moment.
Oh, for honesty. No, I do adore the one comment that someone had made of in real reality, you know, two girls can't have that kind of relationship. Wow. I adore that kind of, you know, I look at those people and go, oh, I'm sorry. You're just an idiot.
I can understand people not agreeing with a certain lifestyle. You know, that's their choice, and yeah. They can still read the comic anyway. But to say that it isn't possible that it exists, that kind of shocks me. I was like, what do you mean?
They still make people like you? What?
I had a man tell me at one point that two women could not, it was impossible for two women to satisfy each other sexually because they didn't understand how the parts worked. Their own freaking parts. I know how it works. I have one. I think I probably have a better angle on this than you do. Oh. And argue just, voraciously, just screaming that it's impossible because they don't understand what feels good. So, yeah, there are people you just have to go, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize when we first started talking that you were an idiot. And then you just... walk away.
All right, and this is a great point to go to break, because I have about 3 seconds right before this is going to run out of recording.
Have news, questions, comments, or advertising inquiries? Transmit them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or dial 1-320-310-0922.
We have returned to deliver yet another message through the FES. You cannot escape our power unless you wait another 30 seconds. We've used the power of capitalism yet again to tell you about the webcomic Exern. That's EXIERN.com. Exern is a fantasy webcomic with a transgender twist. A barbarian hero becomes a sexy warrior maiden with some serious issues when a wizard's spell goes bad. Check it out today. That's EXIERN.com.
The guy that had the comment at San Diego Comic Con, he turns to, we didn't listen to him enough to be upset at the time. We were all so shocked. He said, two women who are together are just doing it for the attention. And we were just, the whole table, there was like eight of us behind the table, and we all kept looking at him going, I'm sorry, I don't think I heard you right. I don't understand what you said.
Does not compute. Wait, what?
To be fair, I think there are people that do that.
Wild videos,
yeah.
And that would be a life, and that would be the difference.
Yeah, women with no self-respect.
I spend a lot of time, like at oddly enough, at like bachelor parties and things of that nature, where they'll watch the girl videos, and I'm the one always screaming in the back saying it doesn't work like that when boys aren't watching. I swear. Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, I had a lot of fun watching the Pirates movie. Because
me
I was like,
too.
Oh god, take off the rings first. Take off the rings. Oh no, the chasing.
What are you doing?
Chasing.
It's so wrong. Yeah.
So what was the question? I don't remember. We were. Oh,
honestly.
No, I think we already covered that.
He's like, please stop.
No more honesty. No more honesty. Stop with the honesty.
Yeah. No. Well, we gotta do a little bit of news now since we're in the third segment. So.
Oh, you're still recording.
Yeah.
Told you.
I thought that was that we were taking the break.
The break's 5 seconds.
If.
That was 5 seconds.
Fest World. It's Fest World. Next thing you know, Yul Brynner's going to come along. Fest World.
Nah. Okay. So we have advertisers on the Webcomic Beacon, and these are our special sponsors. So we got to make mention of them because we do this every Sunday. We look at who's advertising on our Project Wonderful Ads at webcomicbeacon.com. And first off, on the leaderboard, we have Think Before You Think at thinkbeforeyouthink.smackjeeves.com. Also, on our tower ad, we have Walking the Lethe, as I was reminded that that is what it's called, at walkingthelethe.com, L-E-T-H-E. And the one I'm not going to mention because it's not a webcomic. It's a campaign for a really dumb game, and they're not listening to the podcast, so I can say that anyway. But it's that Envy game that everyone gets those ads. But aside from that, we do have a sponsor this week, and that will be mentioned at the beginning of the show and at the break right before this, so you probably heard it already if you had the MP3, but that's I forget how it's spelled, really. E-X-I Exern at exern.com. EXIERN.com is sponsoring this episode of the Webcomic Beacon, so go ahead and check that out as well. As far as news, well, we didn't really receive a whole lot of emails about anything recently. It seems to be like a really slow time as far as people emailing us anyway. But if you have any questions, comments, concerns, feedback, anything, email that to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Recently, I did post on the main website a bunch of potential future topics. Just to quickly go down the list, you'll find this between episodes 109 and 108. let's see, I'm looking at... these are shows that some people have said that we should look into. Video game comics. Oh, looks like we dropped someone. Did we drop somebody?
No, I'm here.
Tanya Higgins.
I'm here.
Oh, yeah, I'll do that. You were just sending me something. Okay. video game comics. Gamer comics. Manga-like comics is another topic that we have not touched on yet. I've promised a couple of people a long time ago, and I forgot who they were. Otherwise, cyberpunk, steampunk, or whatever punk type of comics, sprite and or pixel comics, fantasy comics, and the other type of that actually gets broken down into a couple different genres. Superhero comics, again, can be broken down again. G-rated comics specifically, maybe. Lego Brick Comics. Actually, we're going to be doing that, I believe, in May. We're gonna be setting something up. Non-norm romance or GLBT comics was something, but I don't like... what is it when you... it's like when you use like one kid in the classroom as an example. So single out. I don't like singling out people. So when I do something like that, I don't want to make it that it's doing a special show just because we don't talk about them normally. Which I try is not the case normally. So maybe not.
You know, the 15-minute explanation for
anyway,
why
okay.
you don't like that is actually calling more attention to it than had you just gone.
No, I'm not singling any particular people out, though. That's the thing. I mean, the subject is one thing, but...
Why don't you just say we love the queers and move on?
All right. That's
awesome.
We're
good with that. It's okay.
Somebody mentioned...
Jazz hands.
I'm trying to continue. Somebody mentioned Blaxploitation comics. I've only ever seen one online. Photo comics, which I think I'll be setting something up this summer. Transgender comics. And furry comics. Again, somebody said we didn't really go into them, so... that might be something. But if you have any other ideas, go to that news post. I'll put a link in this show's notes as well. People have already been commenting, and we'll see what we can do. And so that is basically for, let's see, news. And just to remind people, if you want to see who's coming up on the show, go to webcomicbeacon.com/calendar for, what I just said. Anyway...
I'm already formulating rants for like half a dozen of those comics.
Huzzah. I really wish I could just like do like a bunch of episodes in like 1 month and then just record like every single day and then just save them and just upload them weekly. But no, that doesn't work like that. So
buffering. We all wish we had a buffer.
It's hard to, you can't really do a buffer with a podcast. Not when you do live shows with guests.
Oh,
you know this is live, right?
Yeah. Oh, crap. Shit. I mean, fuck. I mean, damn. I mean, did you know crap is a bad word? I had a 6-year-old tell me that it was a grown-up word and I shouldn't be saying it.
I was told that about hell last week at my son's birthday party.
About what? Ow?
Hell. No, hell.
That hell, hell is yeah. a bad
word. I didn't know hell was a naughty word.
H-E double hockey sticks.
But yeah. It's in the book.
my parents will yell at me for not yell at me, but will like, you know, but it's like, you know, if you can say it on cable television, I don't, you know, I don't count that.
You can
so.
Say everything on cable television. You can show
during
me
the day, television. During the day. But whatever, and I don't care. Anyway, so there's really not that. Yeah. Does anybody else have any news that they'd like to share?
Well, let's see.
Hot topic.
Oh yeah, hot topics like stealing from people apparently again.
Hot topics doing
from two
what?
People.
Yeah,
they're ripping off designs for shirts and buttons and things.
Yeah,
it's what they do, kind of. So, while I wasn't surprised, it was Mulholland that Twittered it first. He was the first one I saw Twitter about it. While I wasn't shocked,
him?
Huh? Did oh, no, they didn't steal from him. We'd still be hearing the string of profanities, I assume. No.
He's a disturbingly sweet man. You know that, right?
I have this place in my brain where I really hope it's true because it's the first comic, Something Positive is the first comic I ever read. And it was Something Positive, Devil's Panties, and Questionable Content that got me to start my own comic. And they were the first three that I read regularly. No, you know, I met you at Emerald City Comic Con, and you apologized to me then for ruining my life. Yes.
Well, the guy came up to me at San Diego a couple of years ago and said, "Hey, you inspired me to do my first comic, and you apologized for it." And I didn't understand up until it's 2 years later, and I finally put together my first book, and now I know why you apologized to me.
Thank you for the apology. But I have a place in my brain where I hope he's really sweet because I would be devastated if I ever met him and he was just really mean to me.
He reminds me of my sister in that he will call you on your bullshit. That he is incredibly kind and sensitive, but if
honest.
If you oh yes, he's and my other sister has said about my sister that she can look at you and know exactly what you're self-conscious about for the day. And then she'll point it out.
That's a horrible, horrible skill.
Oh yes, no. So he is brutal in his honesty. So it is, you know, it is quite terrifying. He came up to me at a convention in Connecticut, and he said, "Hey, I heard there's a furry panel. We should go into the furry panel." And after that, my brain kind of blanked out, and I don't really know what he suggested we go to the furry panel, ask questions about. But next thing I knew, I was sitting at my table selling a book to some 12-year-old. So. He's an amazing individual.
Blur.
I'm sorry. So the news about Hot Topic.
Yes. No, they're stealing people's designs again, and I wasn't shocked, but it is disappointing to see that, you know, artists are being ripped off, especially for a company that has as much money and I guess ostensibly power as they do, that they have
to. It's not like his work or anything. I mean,
it's not.
Well, don't they get those? They get designs from outside. It's not that they rip.
Yeah,
off
they don't. They have
they
their
buy
own designers.
Designs. They buy designs from people who have ripped off others.
Well, yeah.
That's what happened way back when with I think it was Purple Pussy who had
Mr. Goldman.
Please, yeah. God, kill everyone.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was in a gallery. Who's going to think anybody on the internet is going to go into a physical gallery? And see
we don't leave the house, right? Oh wait.
City fool. Apparently they grabbed a couple buttons from Quinot too.
Yeah, they did.
So they didn't. I guess we should be.
Someone else did and then sold it to Hot Topic, and Hot Topic did not spend time finding out if they actually
To be honest, it's really very difficult to even try to look for
fair.
It.
You
like,
can't
how really do you search for that? You can't.
I would imagine that they have a contract with whoever they buy the design from that it's not ripped off, and that would protect.
Well,
them.
Yeah,
and
yeah. They check the little box that says, "This is my work. I did not rip it off." And you check that box,
which is why if you see something like that, it's important to report it, because then they take that back to the person who submitted the work, and they're the ones that get in trouble. If nobody ever says anything, though, then you know it just continues. So. Be pissed off about it, but be pissed off appropriately.
Tina, were you going to say something about news?
No, that pretty much covered it in terms of things going on, I think.
Do either one of you have anything to pimp? Are you pushing books or?
Well, Tina, I know what
always
of your stuff that I want to pimp.
Go for it.
Am I allowed? Oh my God,
yeah, go
Tina's the most adorable little girl I have ever met in my life. and she has these two books that are out that, oh my God. Oh my God. She has these two books that are porn.
Really? Wait, I'm looking.
Yeah.
Where's this?
No, I love sweet girl porn. It's the best kind.
It's amazing. So yeah, she has these deleted scenes that are the her comic strip is PG,
yeah.
PG-13, PG, and so she has these very cute
extended scenes.
Yeah, she has these scenes in the on the online comic that is very sweet and lots of flowers and hearts and then she, you know, it's that the two embrace and they go in for the kiss and then the camera pans over to the, you know, the cherry blossom that's falling into the lake or whatever.
Sorry.
Well, she's got the she's got them in print. She prints them up herself and she'll mail them to you if you are 18 and over. Of the, you know, what's going on as the cherry blossom is falling into the lake, and
they're very blush inducing.
Oh my, yeah, no, they're very nice.
Where can you find them on your shop? Are they on your shop?
Yeah, they're in my shop on the Red String site, underneath the regular Red String books.
They're on
the same page there. Yeah, they're
there. They are.
They're very, very, very graphic. So
absolutely not for children in large capital text. Okay. Excellent.
Wait, where's this? I'm looking under.
if you go to her shop, and then you click on the red string books at the top, and then scroll down.
Okay, mini comics. My Sweet Girl, that one?
Is
My
the first
Sweet Girl
one.
And Bound.
All right. $5 plus shipping. So check it out, guys.
Well, now, is Bound the one that's the
and
boy
girls.
And girl?
And girls.
And then the
well,
My
guys
Sweet
as
girl
an intersexual group
yeah.
of people. Term. Anyway.
Are you, so Gina, are you so you've got the hetero porn and then you've got the lesbian porn. Are you going to have two characters that are male get together and then you're going to be able to do that porn? You know, equal opportunity.
Some yowie porn.
Well, I get a lot of people asking me that, and right now there aren't any actual gay character, well, male homosexual characters in Red String at the moment. So there won't be any of that right now, but, you know, like,
you have
I hope
a dream
to...
sequence? Please tell me you have a dream sequence.
some slash fic.
I'll be so happy.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. To be determined.
Okay, unofficial. Unofficial dream sequence.
I won't stop drawing the porn. I am enjoy drawing it, but, you know.
You heard it here first, folks.
Well, she's talking me into it, too. I'm going to have...
I think that would be brilliant.
Well, I want to, you know, I'm going to be starting a site in the summertime, and it's going to be adult comics from a women's perspective, and I'm going to have a bunch of female webcomic creators all contributing.
Ah.
And we're going
to... You have to keep us informed of that, because that sounds brilliant.
Awesome. Well, let's see. Otherwise plugs, Jen and I are both going to be at MomoCon. Later in March.
Oh, yeah, it's in Atlanta.
So that'll be nice and fun.
Okay,
break the law.
Just remember, I was going to say, remember to mark any of your implements with, you know, for collegiate purposes or so.
Or as a musical instrument. I play the vibe.
Actually, at MomoCon, I can't even sell this one because it's in a school, so... I can't bring that one. That one won't be at the table for this convention.
Yeah. I've had problems like that. There's a non-DesuCon here, and they're strictly G. And someone asked me, well, what all are you bringing to non-DesuCon? And I said, I have nothing. There's nothing. I have nothing I can present. I'm bringing me. And I can't even talk.
Yeah.
You and a gag. No, that's a bad idea.
No, that's probably, again, with the no. Yeah.
I've got a new book. I've got Devil's Panties Book 4 is out, and that has fabulous drama in it, and board games. Well, do I have games in that? You know, the paint by numbers and the connect the dots. Although I think that's just in book 2. Anyway.
Or you can get all 4 books for just $70.
Yes.
And it includes
that's
free
$10
bookmark.
Off.
Yeah. So there you
go. So yeah, it's a very large package. I about had the postal service come and whack me in the back of the head.
are they thick? Yes. Oh, wow. I'm looking at how many pages these books are. Yeah, those are pretty
Oh, yeah.
Big.
Each book is about 300 pages.
Jeez.
So
they're not tiny.
freight shipping.
Oh, yeah. No, and the books are, thank goodness for Media Mail. Each of the pages is 3 comics per page. So that's 3 times 300 times 4. It's
912 pages. Or 912 comics.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm coming up on the 3,000th comic strip.
Awesome.
Wow.
My hand hurts.
But you definitely, I mean, you've gotten you've reached your goal. It's kept you drawing, and you haven't
Oh,
followed.
Yes, no, well, my goal was to be in comic shops that I didn't work at. And and I got in, and then I found out how much you make from being in comic shops that you don't work at. So now I'm just selling them on my website.
Yeah.
It's amazing once you start living the dream and you go, wow, this kind of sucks.
The dream blows.
I'm going to go back to that
It's 3 a.m. You're still drawing, knowing that all day tomorrow you're going to be accosted by sweaty people who believe they know you. And
no, they I don't like know her thought. Because they keep asking those around her. Remember?
Oh, that's true. No one recognizes you as you. I think the only reason that I get a little nervous before conventions is because my comic tends to be a little more sexual. And people make some assumptions about me that are not necessarily true, including the fact that I have no personal, like, space bubble. I kind of freak out around people. So, yeah, I get a little sweaty before conventions.
Well, compared to Mark, that's nothing.
That's true. I touched Mark, and he jumped, like, 3 feet. It was sad.
Yeah, my personal space bubble extends beyond the 200-mile limit. It just goes right out there. I don't know.
That's why I kind of like having the table.
You're on
one side of the table. So it does kind of, you got a little bit more of a head start for anybody that looks like they're going to come over it.
And maybe lick you. Like,
there wasn't licking. I got grabbed in an interesting way once.
Did you get licked? I have been licked. At a convention.
Oh,
stranger.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Would you like some hand sanitizer? I'll bring you some pigments.
That would be excellent. I would love some. I'd probably end up using it defensively. I would just squirt it in their mouth.
I've seen the women who are the axe fairies at conventions, and they go around, and every once in a while you'll see them like run someone down and spray them off.
Yes.
Oh, they actually do that?
Yeah,
I've seen that once or twice. I want to get a holster for the Febreze, and just everyone.
If they're doing that, I'm carrying a super soaker with me.
Yeah, but what are you going to put in it?
Well, just don't smell, and then you don't have to worry about the axe fairies.
Dude, if they start spraying me down with axe, I'm going to be rubbing my armpits in their face.
They only do that if you stink.
No. I don't care how much you stink. You don't spray axe on somebody. That stuff reeks.
Use Old Spice, damn it.
No, seriously, if they do that, I'll rub my iron pit in their faces.
You know, I've tried so hard to maintain control for you, lovely ladies.
I'd rather have
really
my own thing.
Because I enjoy you both. You've always been very pleasant at conventions. You seem... I've often, you know, told them the nicest women in webcomics. And look what's happened. Screaming about armpits.
A friend fest.
The fairies. You just don't bring up the fairies.
Were either of you close? I don't know where you guys live. But either of you close to Michigan for PanguaCon? Or I don't remember if that's a thing or not.
Georgia is not close to Michigan. I did go to PenguinCon once.
Okay.
I can only really get to the shows that the shows help me get there, because I do about 20 to 25 shows a year, and that plane ticket bill gets a little steep.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially these days.
But yeah, I went because they had Tamora Pierce was there, and she is the reason I am who I am. She writes stories about girls that are like, you know what? I want to be a knight. Screw you people. I'm going to go be a knight.
Yeah. Yay.
And I'm going to kick your butt. Yeah. So I dressed as that character is for Halloween in fifth grade. And I had a wooden sword, and I got Tamora Pierce to sign the sword. So I'm pretty much done. I'm, you know, Johnny Depp could say that he wants to carry my love child, and I'd be like, no, that's okay.
Wait a minute. That would be...
Okay, that would be groundbreaking on a scientific level. Huh. So if that does happen, I hope that you would help the rest of the biology majors out by just going through with it. But the sword is a major accomplishment. That's very cool.
Awesome. We are at the end of the show.
Okay.
We have like 20 seconds left before I run out of recording. So everyone's just going to be signing off in order. And this has been episode 110 with Jenny Breeden and Gina Banks. This has been Fess of Fessworks.com.
This is Tanya of DaisiesandShit.com.
This is Mark of AutumnLake.com.
This is Jenny Breeden from thedevilspanties.com.
And this is Gina Biggs from Red String.
That's all for now. Tune in next time at webcomicbeacon.com.
day, night, afternoon. It's all good. Brunch.
That sounds ominous, really.
Welcome to
brunch,
episode
10. Vagina brunch.
Okay, let me start over.
All I'm bringing up vagina day is vagina monologues. Vagina monologues on Valentine's Day.
Welcome.
I'm sorry, you can't do anything referring to vagina.
Let me start the show.
He tried to start the show. Try again. Yeah.